audience.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Good morning, Jacksonville. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams out in Seattle. We are both with First Thursday Jacksonville. Larry's the CEO and founder of First Thursday. I'm the president of First Thursday Jacksonville, as well as president of Harvest Intervention Services. So we thank you this morning. This is a wonderful day, beautiful day. Larry, how's it going out in Seattle?
Hey, Jarmin. Hey, happy Saturday, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. Good morning, Duval. It's another wonderful day to be alive and well, Jarmin. Everything is lovely in Seattle, and, you know, everything is lovely, period. So good to be on the air, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And we're going to, Jarmin and I are flying solo today. Dr. Danforth is parts unknown in, I think, California somewhere, but we hope that he's enjoying his respite as he traverses across the country. Jarmin, there's a lot going on in Jacksonville, Duval County, and across the country as we move into a weekend post 4th of July weekend. And I understand that there's still a lot going on around the political scene as well as, you know, just life. And we were talking off the air about, you know, some of the craziness that went on over the, yes. I was about to say this, over the weekend, but over the holiday.
Over the holiday, yes, this past week.
Yeah.
Yes, we were hope everyone had a safe holiday, but we did see some reports that some people did not have a safe holiday, and that's just across the country. The main video that went viral was a woman in New York who just took one of the Roman candles and just randomly started shooting at pedestrians and in the buildings and cars. And then other videos surfaced where people actually chose to play a game with the Roman candles and shoot them at each other. And you know, people got burned in the face and all over their bodies. And we have to be safe and follow the rules with the fireworks. You could lose your life. You know, it's not a game.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that folks, you know, you'd have to be on something, you know, to walk around and purposefully try to maim somebody or
laugh at it.
You know,
in the video,
yeah,
some of the bystanders, they were just laughing as if it was funny, and it was not funny.
Yeah.
Because someone could have seriously lost their life. So but they thought that it was a joke, and I feel like, you know, that's just you're being desensitized, you know, to the lives of people.
So. Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Jarmin. It's one thing to talk about property loss, but when you're talking about possibly losing an eye or a limb or something, or being seriously burned, you know, come on, people, let's be more, you know, forthcoming and taking care of each other and looking out for each other instead of trying to maim each other. That's not a fun thing to do. And people that are laughing about that, you know, if it was you or one of your children, mm-hmm. or friends or family, you know, it wouldn't be a laughing matter. So, you know, I don't know what precipitated people to take on that type of adventure. But you know, just stop it, please. Just stop it. Let's be more mature about dealing with fireworks, because it is it's silly to do those types of things. And,
let's just be more mature about our actions towards people, period. You know, whether it's the holiday, you know, we just, you know, there's some NFL player who played the Jaguars. It had a warrant out for his arrest for $14,000 in damage that he did to one of the Jaguars' cars. They poured some type of solution in the tank and sliced the tires. And I said, really, that's immature as well. So we've got to behave better. But that type of stuff is still going on. We got fireworks continuing locally at City Hall. So we see that there are a lot of names piling up to replace Katrina and Reggie Brown in those council seats.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, gentlemen, about the fireworks at City Hall. We have the Reggie Brown and Katrina Brown saga continues as, city tries to deal with their arrest and now waiting on them to go to trial. And they've decided that through their wisdom and what they feel that they are not guilty. So at least I understand that the prosecutors are trying to get one or the other to flip, and become, advocates for the prosecutors and take one of them down. So far, they seem to have holding steady with their commitment that they are innocent and are not guilty. I won't say innocent, that they are not guilty and want to take it to trial. I haven't the person that is trying this is has a record of success in these types of situations. So I would make sure that if I'm one of two of those that I am not guilty. If that is the case, then as they move forward, I'm just enamored with the entire situation, the process of how it works out, gentlemen. As I understand it, and talking with council members last evening about what the scenarios are, and if any of our listeners have something they want to comment on about what's going on down at City Hall or about the fireworks, anything else, I would encourage them to call in at 904-296-2251. Today we'd like to hear from you and see, get your thoughts on what's going on and especially at City Hall. John, just a brief deal about how this process is going to play out. Both Katrina and Reggie have been suspended by the governor, and only the governor has the authority to suspend, and only the governor has the authority to appoint the period of suspension.
Okay, so the 48 people who applied, they can be appointed by the governor, or he can appoint someone who did not apply?
No, he can appoint someone who did not apply also.
Okay.
It's up to his, it's at his discretion.
Okay.
And, it's going to be interesting, because not only can he appoint someone who did not apply, he can appoint someone who is not in that particular district, to represent the folks in that district. And I would hope that he would, the wisdom says that you would appoint someone who's located in that district so that they have something at stake and would represent those people properly. At this point in time, the at-large district council people are filling in for those two council members and trying to keep the folks represented at least to a minimum amount. And the folks that Reggie and Katrina's seats remain vacant, and it'll be interesting to see if they have said that they're not guilty, so they're not going to resign. And if they're found not guilty, then they come back and they get back pay, and then they retain their seats. So it's a real conundrum there as far as how that's going to play out. And the only way that the city council can get involved is through a special election, but they can't hold a special election unless these two council members resign. So as we said, it's fireworks at City Hall. It'll be interesting to see what the governor does. I'm sure that he is going to take advantage of this opportunity to appoint someone who, thinks like him, and it wouldn't be, out of pocket for him to do that. But we hope that everything works out. And you said that there are 48 people that have applied for
positions. Yes, 48 people have been reported to apply for this position. And from my understanding, there are no specific in the qualifications to be a council member. You do have to be a citizen, a U.S. citizen, 18 years old, able to vote, and I'm assuming no criminal background. Is that correct? And that's it. There's no educational requirement, no experience, no prior history or anything in politics. You can just, come in being a law-abiding citizen and apply to be a city council member.
Yes, and I think one of the things that folks, it's an election process, so it's pretty much like a beauty contest. Who can get the most votes is the one that wins, and if you can convince people that you have their best interest at heart and want to represent them and are willing to, that's basically the requirement. And if we're incorrect, I know some of our astute listeners out there who are, speaking to the political system and the process, call in and tell us what you're thinking about that. It's an interesting deal as we look at this, try to make some type of sense of the whole deal. This is, again, another politician that, has been accused of, wrongdoing. We had Corrine Brown, who was in Congress here in Jacksonville, who was found guilty of some of the things that, corruption. And so we're dealing with it again. But in politics, it's easy to fall in with, bad habits and things that, lead you astray of, what you should be doing and trying to do. And representing your district, in the city council, your job is to represent those constituents in your district, mm-hmm. and have their best interest at heart. And then when we start, going away from that and thinking selfishly about ourselves, that's not why we were elected. We were elected to serve those people in those districts, or citywide or countywide. So just be honest. They do what you're supposed to do. Represent the people, represent your city, and that's all we ask for you to do. So yes. It's an interesting deal.
It is, and there's still not a date known that I can see that where Governor Scott, is going to make that decision. But it can happen at any moment. He can make that decision to appoint someone in those positions.
Yeah, well, Governor Scott is also running for Senate, so for the state of Florida. So he's has his hands busy trying to run a campaign and also continue his governorship throughout this process until he's elected. I'm pretty certain that he has a great chance of winning the election in the Senate. But we'll see. Politics are. Interesting scenarios as people. It's not always the best candidate that wins in today's process, Jarman. It's more about who can garner the most votes, however they do it, and it takes a lot of money.
And it takes a lot of money. That's the key. You have to have that financial support.
And resources.
And resources. But it's good to know that the residents of District 8 and District 10 have, replacements during this process until someone is appointed. And we are going to take a break. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
It fall down on me from the top of my head to my feet. Pour your
down on me. I want your glory, want your glory. I want your glory, I want your glory. Here's my heart and here's my soul. Holy Spirit, come in. Fill me with your consuming.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio. And joining me on the line is Larry Williams out in Seattle. And our other co-host, Dr. Danford, he's out enjoying himself in California this morning. So we're wishing him well. We are coming back from the break, and we were talking about what's going on at City Hall and the city council members that their seats are available right now. They're vacant in districts 8 and 12, 8 and 10. And then we have a caller on the line who wanted to share some information about a vacancy that had come up in district 12. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you this morning? And this is John. And we thank you so much for calling. All right, John. So share with us, share with the listeners what we were talking about off the air.
Yeah. So on June 7th, there was a letter sent to Mike Hogan, the supervisor of elections, from Doyle Carter. Of course, he included Rick Scott and Anna Boucher. But he resigned from his position to take a position with the Duval County Tax Collector's Office. That was June 7th. What that did was that automatically triggered, instead of them allowing Governor Scott to, do an appointment, that allowed, they called for a special election. And this is the same thing that Anna Bruche was talking about before when she was on a couple weeks ago, where they're able to call a special election and then whoever applies to be a part of that election, they will move forward. Well, only one person applied because, of course, it was not publicized that he resigned. And so that person will take seat. I believe he's taking seat in October and will sit in the seat until the election. So he'll have to run. He's only going to be in office a couple of months, but he will have to run for that seat. But, you know, it just goes to show that there's a lot of movement down at the city level, the city council level. Yes. And so we need to make sure that we're energizing, a good breed of folks that have the best interests of the city. Yes. So you kind of start looking at it and you go, well, are you here for your constituents or are you here to go work for someone where you're comfortable at, having a job? So
yes, we understand that. Well, we thank you for calling and sharing, and it lets us know that Districts 8, 10, and 12 have a new representation. So the residents of those districts need to be aware of what's going on in their areas and be advocates for the change that they want to see. All right. Well, we thank you, John, so much for sharing this morning.
And this is Larry chiming in here. The it also demonstrates to us that we need to be at City Hall and at the meetings and finding out what's going on in our city. You know, it's really sad that we have to find out after the fact that there was a vacant position in District 12. And I remember reading about that, and it was a quick deal that transpired there, and it also demonstrates that a lot of people want to be in City Hall and City Council members and serving the public in those particular districts. But we have to be, we need to vote these people in. Appointments are good for these types of situations and emergencies. But when appointments are made, it's not always in the best interest of those districts and the constituents that they're represented in. And even with the opportunity that the governor has, when we start appointment, it kind of frightens me a little bit for the people that are in those districts, because they're not being represented by the people that they elect. They're being represented by folks that, could have other or ulterior motives for those appointments. So, folks, let's get busy and start being proactive in our politics and being in our representation. These people work for us. The citizens of Jacksonville and Duval County, wherever you are. They're not independent of you, and they work for you. So make sure that you go down there, hold them accountable when they're in office, and when you have an opportunity to vote for people that have your best interest at heart.
Right. You utilize your right to vote. I think we've talked about that as well, exercising our right to vote, not only voicing our opinions, but actually going down to vote for those people who we may feel like are going to represent our districts best. So I believe.
Absolutely.
Okay. So furthermore, in locally in Duval, there was some investigation or a potential investigation over a civics exam in Duval County Schools. And I am just becoming aware of this statewide civics exam being I guess, a big deal for the state of Florida. You know, my children are 8 and 5, so they're not in middle school. But the education commissioner says that they're not going to investigate over the civics exam, which with the issue, from my understanding, is that it's a 7th grade exam, but Duval, Manatee, and Polk County, their districts decide to put off the exam until the students reach the 8th grade. So there was some question about why these districts were able to push back this exam that was given in 7th grade.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you know, it's double-edged sword, if you will. You know, I can understand that why the districts probably wanted to put it off. It's an opportunity to, you know, help the children and those the students in those schools prepare better for taking the exam. Mm-hmm. But and at the same time, you know, statewide, the process was for the students to take it as 7th graders so that they can know what they've learned up until that point. Now, you know, if that is the policy, as you say, for the entire state, for those civic exams, then I think people should adhere to, you know, trying to educate our kids and get them prepared to take those tests in the 7th grade and not have to extend a year for those tests to be taken. That's not an accurate, you know, decision as far as how, you know, what these children have learned or what they were supposed to learn up until the 7th grade. And I know most of this is subjective as far as, you know, the timing of the test. But if it's scheduled and should be taken in the 7th grade, Jarman, don't you think these tests should be taken when they're supposed to be taken so we can get an accurate
representation?
What they're learning. You know, you deal with a lot of the early learning processes with kids and early intervention. Yes. And, you know, those are some of the things that you talk about is mm-hmm. that, you know, if we can get to these children at a younger age, they can be prepared for, you know, what the policy dictates. And, you know, we want our kids educated, you know, in the right way and getting, you know, the education in a timely manner and versus, you know, at a convenient manner.
Yes. And I'm not sure if this it says. According to the reports, this decision, they deemed it legal. Again, if the policy states that it's supposed to take place at 7th grade or at a certain time or deadline, then, you know, how are we able to bypass that and there be no repercussions? So,
John, I'd like to, you know, for our listeners who are out there who having more information about how this and why this happened in those three school districts. It's kind of ironic that one of those districts is two of those districts are Duval and Manatee. And the Manatee's superintendent is moving over to the Duval school.
Is now the new superintendent for Duval.
Yes, she has Dr. Green, I believe, Diane Green, and you know, I want to we're going to have a conversation with her later this month, I believe, and you know, I want to hear what she has to say about that, about the testing processes, the mm-hmm. policies, and so forth, because you know, we don't want our children having delayed learning challenges. If we have enough challenges with them being in school and underperforming schools as it is, I don't want someone coming in here and creating a situation where, you know, we're getting education, our children are being educated, but not at the level that they're supposed to be and in the time frame that they're supposed to receive these things.
You're right. And as we say, early intervention is key, you know, giving them that solid foundation early, birth to 3, 85% of that brain is developed, and that's when they absorb the most, and we've got to give them a better foundation to be able to thrive out here academically and socially. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
Why do we do the things we do when it hurts you? I'll never understand why. We're at a place in our lives where we're tired of all the lies and the pain we feel inside. We want to make it right. I have nothing else to give except my life. Please accept this offering. I present my body. Never want to take advantage of your grace and the sacrifice you've made. I gotta make it right. I have nothing else to give except my life. Oh, please accept my offering. I present my body, my sacrifice for holy.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Yes, thank you, God, for your love, because you still love us in spite of ourselves. So we thank you for tuning in this Saturday morning. And this is Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host, along with Larry Williams, joining us from Seattle. And Dr. Danford is on the road this morning. So we're talking about some things that are going on locally. We wanted to kind of shift a bit because there are a lot of things that are going on a national level. We know President Trump is always in the media for something. So right now, you know, he's still under fire about separating these families down at the border, Larry. He has a deadline to reunite these families. And he's asked for an extension because he can't meet that deadline. So what happened with that?
John, the Trump administration asked the judge in this particular case who had given them a deadline of reuniting these kids and with their parents. And I guess the administration asked for a blanket deal so that they can have a a moving deadline instead of the deadline that was, you know, issued by the judge. But the judge on yesterday, Friday, refused to grant the administration, the Trump administration, that blanket extension of the deadline. Mm-hmm. And wanted these kids and their parents reunited post-haste, if you will. The administration said it needed more time to reunite the 101 children under 5 years old, mm-hmm. To ensure the children's safety and confirm parental relationships.
Right. I just don't understand. You know, as a parent, you know, under five and under, to separate from your parent, that's a traumatic experience. So those children are gonna deal with some repercussions of that because they don't understand, you know, what's happening. And that's a critical time to be, you know, with your parent.
Yes, but the key is that and as I understand it, and if someone knows something different, please call in and let us know. But a lot of the reason that they can't reunite these parents is because they didn't keep paperwork on when they did the separation. It was, you know, it was, again, it was something that was the 100%, you know, no immigration, 100%, I think that's how they had. But anyways, the administration was hell-bent on making sure that the parents and these kids were not going to get, the immigrants were not going to get into this country. And when they separated the parents from the kids, they didn't keep good paperwork, John. So some of these kids, you know, they don't even know who the parents were. So how can they reunite them? They're even at the point of trying to use DNA to identify, making sure that the kids and the parents are related. Again, because of the poor paperwork.
Well, and then the age of the children as well. Many of them don't have the language skills to communicate who their parents are and how they're feeling. So, you know, if you're under five and you're scared, then that communication and that relationship with whoever this stranger is trying to get this information, that's not being successful. So
no, and you also, as you mentioned, have language barriers there because most of these kids don't speak English, and so it's just a terrible situation to be involved in, you know, how did we get here? You know, separate, as you point out, separating kids 5 years and younger from their parents is one of the most cruel things that one can do. And, you know, a lot of people I've seen on the internet are especially Americans and saying that, well, you know, they're not our kids, so why should we be concerned? You should be concerned because they're human beings.
Right. Where's the empathy? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And their children.
Yes.
And parents. And I know from my own perspective, you know, if I was, you know, my kids were taken from me. You know, I'd move the oceans to make sure that I was reunited with my children, and folks need to take that. And you know, when they're condemning this process of reuniting these kids, they should be thinking about, okay, what if it was my child?
Right.
You know, and how would I react to that? You know, I don't believe anyone should be separated from their children, and. You know, we've experienced a lot of that in the African American community, you know, through other administrations where, you know, the three strikes and you're out rules and laws that were put in place years ago under the Clinton administration, where, you know, a huge population of young African American men were separated from their families, you know, because they had a joint in mm-hmm. And now, you know, the government is trying to redo that, and as marijuana now is being legalized, not mm-hmm. just you know, in other countries, but also here in America. I think 10 states have legalized marijuana for recreational use. But here are these young men that were, you know, incarcerated for, you know. Things now that are legal in some states, and medical marijuana is legal in 30 states. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a thing that you know shouldn't separate people from their parents under pretenses to fill jails. And at the end of the day, that's, in my opinion, that's what it really boils down to. It's all about the money.
And even more with the immigrants, there are some discharges that are taking place in the military, I understand, as well. Immigrants are receiving discharges just abruptly, you know, unaware
right.
that the discharges are coming down, but they're being discharged from the military if they're immigrants, and that affects their U.S. Citizenship status. Is that correct?
Right. Well, yes, these immigrants were offered an opportunity to citizenship by joining the military, and this administration has decided that they didn't want to go with that policy. So a lot of these soldiers and that are immigrants are trying to work their way to citizenship. People who have decided that they wanted to help protect America and serve our country, and had a deal, so to speak, with the government that if they went into the service and served their time, that they would be given a path to citizenship. And now that's being taken away. But not only is it being taken away, it's also being taken away without, notice.
Right.
Some of these people are just, they're just finding out that, they're no longer, in the military. They're being discharged, and it's, you can't become part of the deal. Their deal was that you had to be honorably discharged, but they're not being honorably discharged. They're being discharged not dishonorably, but they're being discharged as uncharacterized. So they're left in, a conundrum where, they've spent 2 or 3 years in the military. Some have even been promoted because they're doing a great job. But all of a sudden, now they find themselves back out in the fray of things, and that right to citizenship has been taken away.
And then the rights or the benefits with an honorable discharge as well. They don't receive those either. So they're
right.
Just being discharged. Okay. Well, we're seeing discharges just across the board from the Trump administration. It's actually happening in healthcare. We've talked about that briefly on the air. We're seeing a lot of children, their services and their authorization. So in essence, they're being discharged, and they're changing the policies and the criteria. And it's actually causing some of these children who do need services and also adults who need these services to not be able to receive them because of the changes that are taking place in government. Remember, I want to let our listeners know that in our next segment, we will have the Entrepreneur Corner, and you can call in and give a shout out to your small business or events that are upcoming at 296-2251. And also, if you just want to call in and chime in on what we've been talking about this morning, you are welcome to do that as well. We're going to take a break. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
Every time I'm
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Charmin Leitner. Joining me on the line is Larry Williams, and out in Seattle, and we have Dr. Danford, who's not chiming in with us this morning. He's out on vacation. So hope you're enjoying yourself, Dr. Danford. We're back on, this is our last segment. This is our Entrepreneur Corner. As we mentioned before we took a break, you can call in at 296-2251 to give a shout out to your business or any events that are going on. Or you can also call to comment on some of the things that are going on locally and nationally that we talked about this morning. And we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Dexter.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Doing wonderful. What do you have to share with our listeners?
Well, I just wanted to share the fact that, you know, being a local business owner in Jacksonville, you know, trying to build up the community and bring back some of the richness of the what used to go on in the area and build up the community again. You know, a lot of local owned businesses are fading out, and I just want to reach out to the communities and say that, you know, we have to support the local businesses and help them grow as the chain restaurants have grown and other businesses have grown. You know, that you have to keep local businesses going to give back to the community so we can all, you know, bring Jacksonville back to the prominent, you know, time that it was.
Okay. All right. Well, we thank you for sharing. I am a business owner, small business owner myself here locally. So I agree that we need to support our small businesses and our local businesses in our community. So thank you, Dexter, for your call this morning.
You're welcome. And so, once again, I am owner of Dex and Angie's Restaurant. So come out and enjoy a good meal with us.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And you know, it's interesting that how we offer this opportunity to folks who you know, can promote their business and you know, at this time, there's no cost to them. And it amazes me again the apathy, if you will, of small business owners, you know, that you know, if the, you know, if they're having so many challenges that they don't even, you know, have an opportunity, I feel like, taking advantage of things that can help their businesses grow. You know, and my challenge to any of these businesses out there, you know, when you have an opportunity to both promote your business, take it. You know, that's one of the reasons that you struggle, is that, you know, you're not taking advantage of opportunities or creating the opportunities to promote your business. The
right.
best people to promote your business are you, the owners of the business. And, you know, never depend on anyone else to promote something that's yours. Make sure that you're the lead on those situations and opportunities and taking advantage of it. It's a small business owner. Being a small business owner is not for the faint at heart. I mean, you know that.
Yes.
It takes a lot of resources, human and capital resources, to run a business and sustain it. You know, I've said this over and over. Almost anyone can start a business.
Right.
Can you sustain a business and be successful with it over a period of time? That's what creates wealth and is you know, generating wealth and those types of things. It's not just through home ownership. That's one way of accruing
right.
some wealth, but that's limited. You know, if you're going to really want wealth, you have to get a business going and you know, have the discipline to run that business over a period of time. It's not going to always be, you know, on the beach type of stuff. People
yes,
start a business and they automatically want to be on the beach and enjoying the fruits of the business.
But the honeymoon, there's a honeymoon
yeah,
period for everything. It is, you know, it yeah. goes away from the beginning. And there are challenges with the business. And like you said, are you going to be able to endure that to sustain the business, or are you gonna quit?
Well, I think as a business coach, German, I see so many folks who are ill prepared to start a business that want to start a business, and you know, it's just like anything else. If you want something, you know, do it the right way and have a plan, and once you've got a plan, then implement the plan. You know, it's not as simple as it sounds. And I don't, again, as I said, it's not for everyone. A lot of people start a business because they don't want to go to work. You know, if you don't want to go to work, don't start a business, because you're going to have to work three or four times as hard as you do for someone else.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people don't want to punch a clock. Okay. But sometimes that's, in your mind, that's what you're thinking. And you're thinking that, okay, I can get up and go to work when I want to because it's my business. You know, owning your own business means that you don't go on your own time, because once you start a business, every one of your clients are your bosses now. So, you know, and so you go from one boss to having, many.
However many clients you have, right.
Yes, and that's the challenge. You know, can you endure that? Can you put up with the things? Can you deal with the bookkeeping and all the things that are in the back room of a business,
and the hiring
and retaining of the employees and the training of those employees? That's just a lot that goes into a business aside from just your knowledge of what you do. That because you're a great chef doesn't mean that you're going to be a great business person.
Right.
And a lot of times, and I talk to folks about this, is that finding someone to partner with is sometimes better than, trying to go it alone. And, 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
Right. Well, maybe this 8-year-old girl out in California will be an entrepreneur one day, since, she had the cops called on her by a woman who's now deemed permit Patty. This is interesting. Out in California, 8-year-old black girl was selling water outside of her apartment building so that she could raise some money to help her mom pay for a trip to Disneyland. And a white woman saw her and called the cops on her and said that she didn't have a permit to sell the water. And
that's interesting. And gentlemen, an 8-year-old selling water in front of her own apartment building, it's just flat out racial profiling. And
right, because we've seen lemonade stands for years in communities.
Absolutely.
And affluent communities, and no one's being, the cops aren't being called out there. So
Jama, this is a different society that we're living in, and people instead of trying to help these young people, stay out of trouble. This young lady was trying to do it the right way, and her mother was helping her, trying to raise money and so forth. This child could have been out there doing other things that could have inflicted harm on someone, but they chose to take the high road and go out and try to raise money, the best way that they knew how, whether a permit was required or not. I'm not sure, but I know one thing that, as you stated, we've seen so many of these lemonade stands out there that, and over the years that have no one's ever called the police on these people, especially, an 8-year-old that's trying to, help the family.
It's cute.
With the vacation.
Yeah, you see them selling. It's so cute. You wanna buy a water just to help them. They're out there working hard at that young age, trying to attain that goal, and,
we're seeing so much more of this racial profiling throughout the country, and it's a lot of it is just based on how folks are seeing things in our country right now, and we need to get better. I mean, we're all human beings. We're all living here together. We need to try to learn to get along, and I think the business is created through fear and other things.
Yes.
And there was a state representative, I believe, out in Oregon, Portland, Oregon area, who was racially profiled as well. She was out canvassing her district, trying to drum up votes for reelection, going out talking to her constituents, which we don't see happening a lot in Jacksonville. Folks, politicians actually going out and talking to their constituents, asking them what they can do to help make their neighborhoods and districts better. This woman was out trying to do that, and someone called. she was an African-American woman, and, you know, a Caucasian.
The state, called and said, okay, the representative her. Was African-American. Okay, the state representative, yes. and a Caucasian woman called in the police on her and said that she felt threatened that someone was canvassing the neighborhood.
And yeah, but that just goes to show you again that the business, you know, instead of going and asking the candidate representative why she was out there and striking up a conversation, the shortcut and you know what we used to call it in the old days is, you know, throw the rock and hide your hand. Like, this is one of those types of deals. I don't want to get involved, but you know, I want to inflict some harm or this person looks like they don't belong in this neighborhood. Not even trying to find out